Praise the Lord, good morning. Let us open our Bible to the book of Psalms and let's read Psalm 1 before we start prayer. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's come now to God, based on what we have read, and let us come to God in a prayer. Thank you, Lord. We come before you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the salvation that we receive from you, Lord, through the work of Jesus on the cross, hanging, paying the price of our sins. Thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us all the things that we have done wrong, the thing that we have walked in the counsel of the ungodly, and when we stand in the way of sinners, and when we sit with mockers. We ask forgiveness of all sins, O Lord, that we have done, aware, and also the things that we have done wrong, also we are unaware. We ask forgiveness. We ask, Lord, to enlighten our mind and direct us back into the path that you want us to be. Let us confess to the Lord our sins one by one. He will forgive and he will cleanse and he will heal also. He will heal our hearts and lives and he will heal our lands also. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, to all sins that we had confessed before you and in thy presence. Cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's come to God now and give him thanks for all that we receive from him. Thank you, Lord, for all that we receive from you, O God, for our families, our husbands and our wives, our children, the material things that we have in accommodation, food and raiment. Thank you, God, for all that we receive from you, Lord. We magnify you, we adore you, Jesus. Let us come to God and out of thanksgiving in your heart and a trust on him, ask him your needs. And what is your petition to him? Yes, O Lord. Big needs and small needs are only come from you. You promise and say, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I pray, O God, as we will give our needs to you, as we pray, O Lord, you will give us rest and you give us joy and peace. In the name of Jesus, let's ask our Lord our needs and our petition from him. Let's also now pray for our families, pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your children, pray for your parents, pray for your siblings also. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear us when we pray, Lord. We need you, O God. No one can help us. No one can help our families except you, Lord. Hear our cry for mercy, Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our cry for mercy. O God, bless our families. I pray for blessing upon your blessings. Pray for each and every husband. Lead his family according to your will. O God, I pray for wives to be supportive and to help them to go on in serving you, Lord. Pray for both of them, parents, to discipline their children and raise them in the fear of yours. O God, we pray for each and every family to shine before you and give you glory and honor in the example they live. Let's pray, if we know somebody who is in need, who is in trouble, brother and sister, let's pray for one another. God is here and he will hear our prayer for one another. Hear our prayers, O God. Heal the sick, Lord. Provide the needs for those in troubles. Solve problems. Give jobs and incomes to those who lack it. In the name of Jesus, give shelter and food to those who need that. Heal the sick, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Answer our prayers and our cry to you, Lord. No one can hear us but you. Thank you, Lord, for this time of prayers. Thank you, God. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for, we trust that you hear us when we cry to you, O Lord. Thank you for the sanctifying power of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who visit us and touch us and lead us to do your will. Let's pray also for the places that we are working, that the Lord shall prosper these places and the Lord shall use us to spread his word in these places, O God. Lord, I pray for the protection of the jobs of my brothers and my sisters. Protect all their rights and whatever documentations and things that's needed for their work and for also their residency. It will come through, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us will find favor from you and from our bosses. Oh God, that we'll be promoted, we'll be getting privileges. And even as your people are bringing their tithes and offering and first fruits, Lord, open the windows of heaven and bless them. And let their salaries come on time in the name of Jesus. I pray for our brothers and sisters who have pending salaries in their jobs, that their companies provide for them so they will pay them. In the name of Jesus. We pray for those who lost their job. Give them job. Give them job, O Lord. Provide for their needs in the name of Jesus. Pray for those who are seeking work and they are not finding. Open to them job opportunities, O Lord. they can earn their living and support their families and our children. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear our cry for mercy, O Jesus. Let's pray for our families back home from where we came, that the Lord will raise them with His word and reveal Himself to them, and God shall use each and every one of us to raise them with His word in the name of Jesus. Hear our prayers, O God. We commit ourselves, Lord, to reach our families. Help us, Lord. Help us, O God, to bring your word to them in the name of Jesus. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Teach us and guide us. Help us, Lord, to persevere and to do the work of yours in full, O Lord. Have mercy on them, salvation upon salvation for our friends and relatives and our neighbors, those whom we know, those whom they know us, and they have not yet, O Lord, knew you or have experience with you. Reveal yourself to them. Send them your word and heal them and deliver them from death in the name of Jesus. Hear our prayers, O God. We pray also, Lord, as we pray now for the place that God had put His church here in UAE, and also the station in Oman, in Kuwait, in Iraq, in India, in Sri Lanka, in Philippines, Australia, America, wherever the church had expanded to Africa and Sierra Leone. Let's pray that God will grant us favor from each and every government, that we will take our rights and whatever privileges we need so that the work of God will continue. Let's pray to God. Lord, we commit ourselves to pray for these places. We pray for justice. We pray for the fear of yours upon each and every government, that they will not treat your children bad way, O Lord, or abuse us, or hinder, or withhold your blessing to us in the name of Jesus. We pray for salvation for those in the government and the cabinet. We pray that you will give us boldness to continue to evangelize and preach your word and proclaim it in the name of Jesus. We commit ourselves to obey rules and also regulations. Even these rules that have injustice, we pray for your sake, we will obey, O God, so that things will go well and you will work on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, we come against all extortion, oppression, abuse from each and every government. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we trust that you will receive victory. O Lord, stretch out your hand and do a miracle in the name of Jesus, that people will know that you are the true God and we are your servant. Give us opportunities, O Lord, to settle and to spread your word and your word to the places that you have put us. Sustain us and stabilize us. Pray now for yourself, that to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you will serve God and you will spread His word. Yes, O Lord, bless the church, the ministry of the church, O God. We pray, Lord, that you will fill each and every one of us with the Holy Spirit, O God, and you give us the spiritual gifts that we need in our lives to go on and serve you. O Lord, I pray for more souls to come into your kingdom, more people to repent, to receive water baptism. We pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon your church, O God, that we will receive the gifts that we need to evangelize, to go and make disciples, to teach. Gift of healing, gift of faith, gift of administration, gift of pastoring and teaching. And whatever we lack, O Lord, you provide for us of these gifts. Holy Spirit, come and refill us and baptize us with the Holy Ghost so that we will serve the living God, and we proclaim your wondrous work. O God, even we pray for this today worship. Anoint us, O God, anoint the songs, anoint the prayers, O God. Anoint the message, your word to us, anoint the giving, and anoint this recording, O Lord. Let your name be glorified, O Lord. Take it and make it reach your church and your people who are in need of your word. We thank you, Lord. We bless you and magnify you. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Great is the Lord, and great all the wonders and the miracles that we have done in our lives. To show your power, O God, in miracles and wonders, to bring people out of darkness and to save them and to deliver us from troubles and all the work of Satan. We thank you, Lord, that we will continue to let your gospel to spread and reach the lost and those who are called for salvation. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Even as we have sung this song, Lord, we believe that great things have happened in the heavenlies. We thank you, Lord. Show your power continue in our life and reign and rule over us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our God, our God, our God.
us display your glory so that people will see and will know you through our life, O Lord. Guide us and lead us to the full will of yours, in this name. Preserve us and empower us with the Holy Ghost to go on and serve you, O Lord, our heart and our desire, O God, to preach your word, to reach the nations, O God, and those who have not yet heard about you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Empower us with the Holy Ghost and lead us to do this mission work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Lord, grant us our desire and our prayer to reach people and nations of other languages and tongues and races that they have not heard about you. Hear our prayers, O God, empower us and fill us with the Holy Ghost to go on and save you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us be citizens of gospel presence. Let us now collect our tithes and offering to God. This is part of our worship, to bring to Him what is due for Him from tithes and offering and first fruit. The money that's collected will be used to reach the lost and sustain the needs of the church. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for all the jobs that you've given to your people. And we pray also, Lord, that you will bless each and every brother and sister who bring his tithes and offering and first fruit to you. Open the windows of heaven and bless them. And rebuke the devourer in their life. And pour out so much blessing that they have no place to keep. And I pray also, Lord, that you multiply this amount of money and use it, Lord, to reach the lost. Thank you, Father. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we'll continue to speak today about the church in Pergamos. Book of Revelation 2, verse 12 to 17. We started last week, we'll continue today. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful servant, martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which think I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To whom that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Anoint my lips, O God, and put words and verse and statement to teach your people your word and your will, O God. Lord, take your word and spread it, and let be a fruit, 30, 60, and 100, fruit of repentance, fruit of the Holy Spirit, and fruit of new souls to come to you. Raise up workers and servants of yours to go on and save you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We spoke that the church in Pergamos was a persecuted church, and Antipas was killed there, a faithful servant. And he was the good example that Jesus mentioned here to that church. And also, Pergamos was a church with good evangelism, but the spreading of God's word and their standing in faith and their willingness to be persecuted cannot cover the other aspect of the thing that Jesus told them about the ministry, that they are allowing people who follow the teaching of Balaam, who promote sexual immorality as we have spoken, and offering food sacrifice for idols. Why? I mean, their church is very good in evangelism, their workers and their pastors, they are doing very well, but there's also sexual immoralities in these churches. Why sexual immoralities is something that it mentioned here in a very particular way. What is this sin if you compare it with other sin? You know, the scriptures tell us that all sin that is committed, it is committed outside the body. But the sexual immorality is the sin that is committed inside the body. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 15 to 20. You say, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, for every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now here we understood, when there's fornication, I am taking the body of Christ that should have the Holy Ghost and united it with the harlot. So that's why here, the sin of fornication, it gives chance for devil to inject demons into the body of Christ, to inject devils into the church of God. That's why he is telling them, your willingness even to be persecuted for his namesake, for the faith, cannot cover this sin that you are keeping inside the church. But he's saying to him, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. He's not the one, he's not the leader. But under him, there are people who are keeping the doctrine of Balaam, of enticing others to commit sexual immorality and to get defiled by food sacrifice for idols. Now, very good number of churches and ministers, they say that we use these banquet and parties and we use the days in the war so that we can invite other people to come to Christ. Now, let us go back to scripture. Evangelism is depend on the Holy Ghost. It does not depend on parties and banquetings. And also, you know, if we want to help poor people, I don't need to wait for December 25 to invite them, to give them food. I don't need to do that. And also, if I want to help poor people, the crippled, I don't need to wait for a New Year celebration to reach them and give them food or to invite them to the church. I don't need to do that. I can do it earlier and other day if I am a merciful person. And also, I don't need to wait for Valentine, okay, to help poor people. Or I don't need Valentine to get a godly husband or a godly man. Have you get the point here? Well, why I'm saying here? Because they are pastors and leaders. Even the church have got leader. Our general overseer. He promote these things. And that is against the scripture. Everything I wrote and I sent. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. You know, Jesus, somebody invited him in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, somebody invited Jesus for a banquet. Chapter 14. Because food offered to idols, all these idols, even December 25. I repeat again. The winter Saturnalia, that was to worship the sun god. They use it to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the summer Saturnalia, they use it to celebrate, the Catholic, they use it to celebrate John the Baptist's birth. All idols. No scripture related, not the leading of the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 14, and verse 12 to 14, that Jesus speak to the man who invited him. He told him, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bade thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. What he say here, if you want to do banquets, you need to invite those kind of people, crippled, maimed, blind and lame. And those kind of people, they cannot come, even you invite them. They cannot come. What you need to do? We need to go to them. So basically, what they are doing, that they use these opportunities to evangelize. Well, that is against the scriptures what you are doing. You are promoting immoralities. In order to, and you are promoting also to eat food offered to idols. Why? The Holy Spirit cannot evangelize without you, all these activities. These are sin against the body of the Christ. Immoralities and food offered for idols. Let's go back. In verse 13, he told them, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou hold fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Here the Lord Jesus give them very clear example. He give them Antipas, which means Antis. He was against all sin, all kind of worldliness, and not only against religion and against other God, but also against all sin. He give them the example that they need to follow, to do good evangelism. Pergamos Church was good in evangelism, but Pergamos Church was also soaked with sin, immoralities, fornications there, and food offered to idols. All the activities now in the churches, a lot of feast from the world, they brought that had corrupted the church, and that had made the Lord hate such things. In verse 15, so has thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which think I hate. We spoke about this teaching when we spoke about the church at Ephesus. This church was promoting such things also. So the Lord was telling them, you have good things, but you have bad things. He was speaking. He sent the letter through John to the church. He sent it to the leader, and he told him, I know you are not the one, but there are people there with you. They are promoting this. The same, this message, this letter will be sent to people, workers, pastors, churches, to father and to mother, because you are evangelizing. But those who come from outside, they will see what is going on in your family as a father or mother. You need to be cleansed from all these practices. And even as a church congregation under your care, you are responsible to clean this church. He told him in verse 16, repent. Now, he is not doing this, right? He told him, repent. How he will repent, the leader? He's not doing this. Repent, it means that you clean the church from such kind of teachers, from such kind of doctrine. Even you don't follow it. Some people, they say, I'm not doing this. Yes, you're not doing this. We are not doing, you are doing it. But there are people under your care are doing it. You need to deal with them. If they are not willing, let them move out, because that will spare the rest of the church. So those who come in, they will not think that immoralities or this peace we are celebrating or we are condoning or we are accepting. He's saying, repent, it means that you have to deal with such sin and deal with those people who are promoting such kind of doctrines. Here, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He is telling him, repent and deal with it yourself. If I will come, he's warning him, if I will come, I will come against them with the sword of my mouth. The Lord himself will come with the sword of his mouth. Now we need to understand how he will come. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, that is now very important now. Why the church in Pergamos is a very good example for the churches today to repent, to the leaders to repent, to the parents to repent. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse 12 and 13. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there anything, any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now here, the word of God will come and divide and will judge the sins and the wrong doing. He said, I will come with my two-edged sword and I will come against them. Now, how God, how the Lord, when Balaam enticed the Israelites, when he told Balak, they enticed the Israelites to invite the men for their sacrifices, and they caused them to cause immorality, fornication. What God did? What he did to them. What he did. What does the scripture tell us? What he allowed? He allowed plague to come on them. And I believe the same God is doing the same. Now the plague that he allowed all over the world with this COVID-19, I believe that is the judgment of God because of the sin of immoralities. Now churches are closed not because of COVID. It is like that because God is displeased with. That is here the whole point. You know, in the book of Numbers chapter 25, we will read what had happened when they Israelites, the men, they commit fornication and they eat the food that offered to idols from the Moabites woman. All these idols, Valentine, Christmas Day, New Year, I repeat again, are idols, all for economic purposes, not the scripture, not the Holy Spirit. I'm responsible, I'm putting this clear. In verse chapter 25 and verse 9, you see, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. He mentioned the number of those who died by the plague. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, Apostle Paul also mentioned this. Let's read it. Because that is the when he says, I will come. He say, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Was Moses was doing fornication? No. He was not doing fornication, but there are people under him. They are doing it and they were teaching others. What God did? He struck the whole congregation with the plague. Those who died, 24,000. This is what he's telling him. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them, not against you, against them. I will kill them in front of your eyes. And fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That is the scripture. When we invite idols, when we sin, plague will come. And will take people life. Will cause death. In 1 Corinthians, we must understand scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8. He say, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day there and 20,000 and fell in one day 20,000. How many dead? Here he mentioned Apostle Paul here. He mentioned 23,000 in one day. In Numbers he mentioned 24,000 because 24,000, that is the whole number. Apostle Paul say in one day 23,000. I believe second day when Phinehas killed that man with that woman, that had stopped the plague. But the total number is 24,000 died by that plague. Scripture supply us with information. And Jesus himself, in the book of Revelation, he spoke about Balaam and what he did, and he said among the people like that they are doing dating and courting and boyfriend and girlfriend and children are all immoralities, and that will bring the plagues. The plague will continue this plague will continue if the churches will not repent. If parents, father or mother will not repent, he said, repent. I don't have morality. Yes, not you, but your daughter, your son, your disciple, the congregation under your care. He said, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly. He's a warning, he will come quickly and he will judge. Yes, he's now quickly the Lord. He was patient long time, but now he's quickly. I leave the situation that I want to give up. Morality and people are not concerned, and as God is not there, but now I can see God is moving. He said, I will come quickly. Okay, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. In verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The things that is going on, we need to heed, we need to listen, we need to obey. He said, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden. No, he said, to him that overcometh. What he means that we need to overcome? We need to end up this phenomena of immorality, fornication, and food offered to idols in our churches. That's what he said. We need to cleanse it. How to overcome? We need to be cleansed from these things. And those who are not willing have to take them out, separate them from the congregation, because we are reaching new people. Church should be clean. I'm not speaking about in the world. The world have different treatment. But we who are his church, we're having a plagues if we would keep sin in our midst. And that's why we need to be careful how to conduct our ministry. Now to those who overcome, when we overcome, hear the Lord promise good things to those who overcome. He promised three things in verse 17. I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. He said, those who overcome, those who clean themselves and the church, their families from such things, I will give them to eat from the hidden manna. What is the hidden manna? And the hidden manna, when the Lord sent the manna for his people daily to eat, God said to Moses, tell Aaron to get amount of manna and Omar and put it in a pot, a jar, and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. As a remembrance for the people, they will remember that God had fed them manna. And for us, the manna is the Word of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need the manna to sustain us. He said, when you overcome, I will give you the manna, the spiritual food that will sustain you daily. The fellowship with God Himself, that's what we need. I can be deprived of a lot of things, but I cannot be deprived of God's presence in my life. The hidden manna is the Word of God. When He gave us that, satisfy our needs. That is the hidden manna. And the second, I will give up the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. What is the white stone? What he mean by the white stone? You know, at that time, the Greek and the Romans, they have white stone and they have black stone. For those who are criminals and they brought to the court, because that church was persecuted, he said, I will give you white stone. White stone, it means that you are vindicated. You are justified. You are innocent. That's what he said. We'll be vindicated. We will be justified before God when we obey Him. He said, white stone. And the white stone, it means also a medal, a victory. That you have won, that you have overcome. And the white stone also is a permission. There are certain places that you are allowed to enter when you show them white stone. It means that, yeah, you get the white stone, they give you permission to come in and enter. That is the white stone. He said, those who overcome, I will give them white stone. You are vindicated, you are innocent. you are allowed to enter eternal life. When he will come, he will take us. And he say also about the white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. He said, I will give you the white stone, and in the white stone there is a name in it. There is a name. I will give you white stone, and I will put a name on it. Only the one who received the white stone will know what is that name. Some they say it is, could be this name is a Christian name, or justified, or also innocent. But for me, when you say only the one who received it, I believe that name is, it means that brother or sister, or he or she, or me or you, have received assurance from God that you are saved. And when he will come, he will take you with him. He will take us with him. He will take me with him. He will take you with him. He will take her with him. And he will take him with him, because you have overcome. Amen. That's here the point, that he's telling them, I honor all your evangelism, but you are soaked with sin, Pergamos. Repent. Stop this nonsense. You know, yes, I know you are not doing it, but those under you, your children, your disciples, your workers, your church members, let's stand before God, let's repent. Let's stand. Let's repent so God will hear our land. I believe. The Bible does not speak about those who recover or those who are vaccinated. We speak about those who died by the plague. There's a plague all over the world. That's the sin that God is judging now. Let's come to the Lord in repentance. Everyone discipline his daughter and son, and those under his care and the congregation.
Love themselves and turn from them.
Yes, O God, thank you for your word. Convict your church, your people, the pastors, the leaders, the workers, to repent. We are aware, O Lord, that if there is no repentance, there is no healing. We trust you, you are faithful to fulfill your word. Take your word and spread it, O God. I pray for those who repent, reward, and you bring healing. And as you promise, O God, you give us the hidden manna, Lord. Give us, Lord, the white stone and the name that's written on it. Only the one who receives it knows it. O God, take your word and spread it. O God, you bless us, enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.